Welcome back to another episode of Girls with Anxiety. I'm Heike.
And I'm Meg.
Where have you been?
just hanging around on vacation. Just, chilling, sunbathing. Just kidding. Maskless in public. Hi. Oh, it's been so long.
I know. I miss you, and I'm sure all the listeners miss you as well.
I miss you, too. I miss all of you guys as well. What episode number? 43?
I think 43. I know. Wow. You're the only one that, kept up with, and this is episode...
So you would tell me what episode it was.
Yeah, so I think this is episode 43. I was just, guessing when I put it in the notes.
I think it was... Episode 27, where I kept fucking up and calling it something else.
I think you kept on saying 29 or something, but it's 43. I just checked.
All right. Well, yes, I'm Meg, and Everly is here with us as well, just drinking her milk. Maybe gonna fall asleep, which would be awesome, but.
But, for the listeners that don't know who Everly is, who is Everly? Oh,
she's my daughter. My daughter. And really quick, as always, please rate, review, subscribe. I wanted to say it backwards, review, subscribes, rate, because I was maybe people get used to hearing that and then it just zones out. So if you jamble the words, they'll be like, what did they just say? And really think about it.
I like that.
And then do it. So please subscribe, review, rate, and... And that really helps us out and helps us to get other listeners. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
And also subscribe to our GWA newsletter. It comes out once a month. Yeah,
it shall do.
You could find the link in our bio on Instagram. And then I guess I'll try to figure it out to put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that, so I believe that you can.
I'll figure it out. I'll just try to figure it out.
I would just put a link to the Instagram because keep going. Click, click, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get there at some point.
I just know that people don't like to click a lot. And I don't like to click a lot. I lose my attention span is very
I know. Oh, I have to because do, everything is so easy to do now that
we're all five clicks, I'm done.
Hell no.
I'm on to the next.
I only want to click one thing.
One thing.
Then everything needs to be. But you know what? That's what's scary about the Apple Pay stuff.
Oh, I don't have that.
One click Amazon Pay and you're just cool. That was an accident.
I mean, I have to admit, when I'm shopping online and typically just on my phone and they don't have PayPal, I don't buy anything.
You use PayPal?
Yes. Is that bad? Am I old? Is that such a, a millennial thing to use as PayPal?
How do you use PayPal?
It's my card info is on PayPal.
Okay, so you have a PayPal account that you have your card info and then you just pay through PayPal. I think I've only used PayPal once.
Oh, okay. So maybe you're the weird one.
I use Apple Pay generally, or I just have... type in my card information.
Well, I don't know my card information off the top of my head, so I'm not going to get off the couch to get my card. It's the laziness. That's what I'm saying.
I did memorize one of my card numbers.
I have one almost memorized. I just don't know
mine's the one with the least amount of money, and then I end up just using it, and then I have no money.
I have I don't memorize I don't have eight numbers memorized, so that's pretty much half of the card, so it just doesn't help me out. Subscribe to our newsletter and it will be great. It's more than one click, sorry. But we also want to talk about the events that unfortunately unfolded in Atlanta over the past week. Where Meg and I stand, but we're always glad to touch on it and repeat.
Bring awareness.
call it what it is. It's a hate crime. This man senselessly took 8 people's lives at 3 different spas. I think you guys know what had happened. It's been all over the news, but we just don't.
At this point, I think we're getting to a point where it's like, you're almost like at a loss for words constantly.
Yeah.
Because it's at this point where it's like, how many times, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And if, exactly. Like, you know, it's like, obviously, we talked about it before this. It's like, people from Asian countries did not cause COVID.
Yeah.
Sorry, it is not their fault. No. Not their fault. There's no one to blame. No. There's nobody to blame.
I mean, there's one person that we could blame
for the mass what's spreading of it and transpired of the people hate the hate crimes, but
we all know who that is, and we don't need to give him any more airtime. But yes, we stand with the Asian American Pacific Islander community. We see you. We hear you. We're with you. We will leave links in the show notes for places that you can donate. If you can't donate, at least share. We know it's a hard time right now financially for everyone. So anything, every little thing, any amount, anything matters, counts. So we just want to touch even, on that.
Even just, I know it sounds silly, but like even just sending like a good thought.
Yeah,
to some, like a family, like even if you're just like, okay, like this family went through, it's kind of like, thankfully I haven't heard of some of the ambulances go by, but it's like what I do when I hear ambulances, like sometimes I'll like, if I catch myself, I'll be like, say like a little prayer, like be like, okay, I hope they're okay. Like, I don't know, just like something to like, obviously who knows if that does anything, but it's just like something to just think about them.
Yeah,
in that way, and like
reach out to your friends that are
Asian Americans.
Asian Americans, yeah. So, yeah, it's it's so sad. But like you said,
This is, why is this becoming our normal?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this our normal?
It's not
why is it that? Yeah, I mean, this is, it's disgusting. Like. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? I'm so sorry to all these people. Sorry.
And I wish I had like a better way to like articulate like what I want to say out, but it's just like my mind sometimes is just like is faster than how my mouth can move. And I think you guys all know like where our hearts are and where we stand with everything. So
yeah, absolutely. It's horrendous.
It's horrendous and it's devastating. And I only hope that we can just become better and for the younger future.
Yeah.
For the younger generation.
Yeah. I don't want my daughter to grow up in a world where
it's so easily to hate.
Yeah. Like, I want her to grow up and celebrate other cultures and colors and be like, wow, this is so amazing. Cool. Can I try your food?
Yeah.
Like, what do you guys get to eat? What do you guys do?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Like, what language do you speak? Like, I want that to be, like, completely celebrated, completely adored, like, loved. Like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, no one should be shamed for the color of their skin or their culture or what they eat at home or whatever.
Yeah, Ronnie got me this. Not if she didn't get it for me. It's for Everly, but it's this. I can't see it. It's this Think Big little one. And it's all these women of different races. And it's like all the things that they have done. And it's really cool because it's just like all of these different women, different colors. Like, and so obviously she's, you know, like probably can't comprehend it. But I think it's just nice to be able to be like, look, this person did this and this person did this. And they, you know, it's not all just the thing that matches you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really cool book. Are you tired? She's tired, you guys.
I wish you could see her hairline.
Oh, yeah, she has a cold. So anyway,
Anyway.
Hello. Hi. Welcome back.
Welcome back. before we get started into the episode, I'm going to just like ramble on about like what my favorite beauty product is, which is not a beauty product this week, but, and then this episode is like full neg motherhood. I cannot wait because I'm sure the people are tired of listening to me talk, but don't shake your head at me. So like I said, I was going to tell you all about a beauty product, but then yesterday Jake and I were riding the bike trail by our house, and I saw a young woman walking with, she was alone, she was walking with her keys between her knuckles, and it just broke my heart because I know that a lot of us women have been put in that situation or have felt that we needed a sense of protection around us when we are walking or just alone. So, yeah. So, and I just like think it's really unfair that we aren't able to just like go on like an afternoon stroll without feeling safe. So I wanted to share this product that with you all. I just recently got it. I think it was like
back before Christmas.
Like back in December. Yeah, I think it was like Black Friday sale. I think that was like one of the things I got. But it's called She Birdie. And it's a personal safety alarm. And, you know, like I said, unfortunately, we live in a scary world and always have to be looking over our shoulder to make sure we're safe or not. And the She Birdie, she's little, but she's mighty. She's tiny. To, like, activate it, you pull it, and it senses the alarm. It activates the alarm, and then there's, like, a little light that goes off. So it just like, I don't know.
It's a loud alarm.
It's a loud alarm and a light that goes off. So like, hopefully it will scare whoever is trying to attack you. But it's also just like makes you bigger than you are because, you know, hopefully people around you will be able to see what's happening. What else? Oh, it's $29.95. And I believe if you buy it in like a bundle with for friends and family, like give it to your sister, give it to your friend, give it to your girlfriend, your mother.
It gives you a discount, I think.
Yeah, it gives you a discount, and it comes in a bunch of different colors and a really pretty like gold brass ring that you could also put your keys on. So I have it in black because I don't even know what I carry in my bag anymore. Like purses don't exist since COVID. I just like have like my baggy bag and like everything's in it. So I was like, knowing me, like I will probably accidentally get it dirty. So I just got black. It's very sleek. And yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys. We'll leave it in the show notes. I'll put it on Instagram stories. If you guys are listening to this after I put it on Instagram stories and you can't remember, just DM us and we will send you in the right direction. Yeah, but I think it's great. And, you know, like there's been so many times that I've like texted Neg and been like, okay, I'm going into a parking structure garage to get my eyebrows done. Like I have to park in the parking structure and then take an elevator up. Like if you don't hear from me, like alert the authorities. And like I'm half joking, but like half serious, you know, because it's like, and I know you guys are probably like, oh, like another thing to add to our bag of like things that we have to feel safe, you know? But I think it's like sleek and little. And like I said, she's little but mighty. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, I love that. So I learned the key between the fingers because I used to go when I was dating somebody in LA like a long time ago, I would go up like early and I'd go to like downtown, like I guess in like the not so great part, and I'd go and like try to have dinner, do stuff and walk around. And one time this girl ran up beside me and she's like, "You're not from here, are you?" And I was like, "No." And she's like, "Yeah, I could tell. This is what you need to do. Like you need to keep your keys like this, like because people here like they're like you could get hurt." And I was like, okay. And I was just like, and it was night. Like I used to do this, like, you know, it'd be like seven, eight, 8 o'clock where it'd be getting dark. And I remember just being like so scared sometimes, like walk back to my car. And I always remembered her, like random ass girl, don't know her name. Like she just saw me and obviously is from there and is like, this girl is out of place here. Like something could happen to her. And I really appreciated that about her because it's like, okay, like she could have just been like, whatever, I'll let her go. Like, I don't know her. I don't want to freak her out. But instead she was like, let me teach her something just in case. And, you know, with that being said, like even I used to carry pepper spray. I don't really anymore, but I think that this, and I think it's a good idea to have it, but like this she bird, like is a really good idea because it's so easy mm-hmm. that like, obviously having a key in between your thumbs, or I'm sorry, in between your index and your middle pointing out is great. However, being able to pull something that's going to sound an alarm, mm-hmm. people aren't generally going to be able to hear you trying to poke somebody with your key. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that I, like they might be more scared of like, oh shit, she just fucking sounded an alarm.
Oh yeah.
I gotta fucking dash. But who knows, you know, hopefully that's the case.
Well, yeah. And I think like, you know, with the alarm, it's just like, it startles the person. Mm-hmm. And then you get that like extra like few seconds to like.
Right.
Bold. And it's sad.
Yeah,
that,
I
like,
think it's a great idea.
Yeah. And I think it's sad that like us women have to like watch our backs and it's like, teach your fucking sons better. Like teach them how to like respect us. Like you got, you know, I could go.
Sorry
on.
Guys. I had to take a sip. Sometimes when I'm breastfeeding, I'm just like so thirsty.
Well, yeah. She's like literally taking all
like
your
the
fluids.
Water doesn't get to my belly, it just goes out of my boob.
Oh, it's so good to have you back. But yeah, that's my.
You miss my jokes?
I miss your jokes so much. I do. So yeah, that's my, I guess, product of the moment. It could be a beauty product. It could be whatever product. But I want to hear.
Yeah,
what,
it's a fashion product.
It's a fashion. You know, like it's on your keys. It's great. You wear it, whatever. But what's like your product that you have not been able to like live without since having ever?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm so minimal, like so minimal when it comes to products.
Wait, what's your stance on Aquaphor right now?
Right. Right now, I think my lips are allergic to it again.
Okay.
So.
Because I think the last time we recorded with you, like, Aquaphor was, like.
My gold standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Because it, like, when I was using it really heavily again, it started to get red and worse. So, I think my body, which the dermatologist told me that that could happen sometimes, that some people are allergic to it. So, I think my body just. Depending on like the inflammation it has just goes through that. But I've been loving, I mean, you know, I'm like a true coconut oil lover. Nativa is my favorite brand. You can find it in the food section at Sprouts. I think I get the virgin, so it's unrefined. I'm pretty sure that's the one I get. I'd have to check. But I've been loving this company called Osmia, which I've used them for a long time, like since Grace and Jesse's first yoga retreat, like for a long time. And I stopped using them when I was pregnant for some reason. And then I started back up again. And the founder is I want to say she was an emergency room doctor. I think that's right, because I watched a video on how to properly wash your hands by her. And she talked about like working in the hospital, and she started the skincare company because she had dermatitis like around her face, and all of her stuff is like it's as clean as it can be in my opinion, and I just really love it. She's really like waste conscious too.
I love that.
So I've sent like a chapstick and a bar of soap to so many friends because like I just think it's like the best little gift. And
it is.
So my favorite products, Lip Doctor, which is her chapstick, which is really like, I think it just smells really good. And like, it's a big cylinder. Yeah. So it like feels like, I don't know, just more luxurious than like a regular chapstick.
It tastes good too.
Yeah. And then I use the Oso soap, which is like really minimal, safe for babies, safe for mom. And
is that what you got me?
No, I got you the Milky Rose.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and that's the one I've been sending people just because it looks really pretty online.
It's so pretty.
I'm like, oh, it seems so nice and like
I'm so sad luxurious. I already used it all. It's like a fat chunk of soap too.
They are, and they come with a soap saver. So if you buy more soap, like you already have a soap saver. They, you know, I have the body oil too, the Naked body oil, the Naked mousse, and then the Oso soap. So you can buy them in like a set, and essentially like. You don't dry off after the shower. You put the oil on your body and then you put the mousse on. And Ooh. So your body just really absorbs like all the hydration from the water. Because her theory is like, why do we sit in the water and then wipe it all off and dry and then put lotion on our skin? Like that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Put body oil on, let
that's
it soak in,
too.
put mousse on.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's fascinating. Like I never thought about it like that. So I've been really loving those products. I've been using my Indie Lee
Squalene
oil on my face, like morning and night, which I love.
You should also do that with your face too. Leave it like damp and then put products on because then it soaks through.
Right. And so I got Osmia Organics, her face lotion, which I used to use all the time anyway, which I've always loved because it's not heavy. It's like a really like light, but then she also sent a sample. She has seven friends with her. But I did personally email them like asking like if this thing was safe for nursing and she emailed me back.
It's amazing.
Which I really loved. Like I kind of asked more of like a medical question and yeah. I got her responding to me. And then I had asked like another question about like some basic, like I entered my information wrong at some point. And her team answered me back. So I was like, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
They were able to like, I don't know. I just love customer service.
Yeah. I think it's very important.
Yeah. And so essentially, they sent this like sample and it was like these nectar rose drops, which feels like, oh my God, so good on your face. Like it's so moisturizing and so lovely. I mean, I have really dry skin, I guess, because I like am crazy about showering and I'd wash my face probably more than I should. But I also just really like to feel really squeaky clean. It's like my favorite thing in the world.
I mean, I think everyone for the most part loves to feel squeaky clean. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, right. Some people are totally okay with like not showering for a few days.
Okay. Yeah, you know, whatever you want to do, that's fine.
Yeah, no shame.
I'll
be dry. My skin will be dry as hell.
I'll have to shower every day. But you know what? I've noticed that on Fridays are like my no shower day.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. Well, I think now I shower on Friday nights, but like it would be like I'd get home from work, Jake and I would have dinner, and then we'd go out and have like drinks or meet up with friends. So it's like,
yeah.
I'm one to shower at nighttime because I like my extra sleep. Anyways, this is getting so off topic. Thank you for sharing. It's pregnancy safe and breastfeeding safe. Is that what you said?
Certain products are, but they have a list on their website.
Okay, awesome. And then
so you just have to go and search.
Yeah, and then I'll share that on our Insta stories. But like, how are you? Tell us everything. But no, like really, like tell us everything because we, the listeners, want to know everything.
Well, I'm like so in love.
Yeah.
You know, like I think I'm really lucky because I am breastfeeding, I feel like and this is for me personally, not anybody else, like I think that it's helped me maybe ward off like some postpartum depression because like I'm really needed by her. And I think being a mom, it's really easy to, I just don't think you can fully like Like, I could never have fully understood until I'm going through it.
Yeah.
Like, how lonely it can be and how you can feel so many emotions all at once. Like, you know, like maybe Steven's doing X, Y, and Z around the house, and maybe I'm... Are you fucking kidding me?
What?
Do you hear that?
Yeah. What is it?
Stop it, Siri. Nobody asked you anything. It just said, sorry, I don't find any appointments with Steven and Houston.
What?
Who? Rude as hell.
I'm fucking leaving that in. That was hilarious.
You can leave that in. That little mofo. Just kidding. I'm really appreciative of Siri sometimes.
But not anyway. When she's not welcomed.
Well, mine's a guy. He's from Australia.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry. Not yeah. When he is welcomed. Not welcomed.
So, I figured if I'm going to have to talk to somebody all day. Might as well be Australian
man. I was going to ask you, like, I don't want to, like, interrupt, but, like, you mentioned something about, like, feeling so lonely. I mean, like, I could only imagine, especially, like, being pregnant through a pandemic and feeling already isolated and alone.
Yeah.
Like, is it just like.
Do you feel crazy?
Extra yeah. lonely? Or is yeah, it just like, for sure. Oh, this is just like an extended of the loneliness that I have felt? Or is it just like a whole new lonely? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a whole new lonely because. You know, when you're pregnant, you can go on your own schedule still for the most part.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you can, if you need to just like, oh, I just need to go and like.
Take a drive or something.
Yeah, take a drive, get out, like do something. You can do that. I haven't had the best of luck with her yet as far as like, okay, like. She definitely falls asleep at this time. She, you know, it's like, obviously she's a baby. Like we're going to figure that out as we figure that out.
Absolutely.
I know that logically, but to say that that isn't hard or frustrating would be a lie mm-hmm. because, you know, there is a level of loneliness when you're pregnant during a pandemic and you're just doing everything you can to try to protect this child that you haven't met yet. And then, you know, so you stay away from things, you don't do things, you don't have baby showers, you don't have gender reveal, like, you know, all this stuff, mm-hmm. like, you just don't have any everybody's different, but I didn't have any celebration because to me, the anxiety from it wouldn't be worth it. The potential risk wouldn't be worth it. That's me personally. I know that I have a little bit more of an exaggerated and intensity of sense of responsibility for others other than myself. So, you know, like pregnancy was pretty lonely for me. Obviously I had Steven, but even with that, you know, at the end of the day, like, and I think it was something I didn't understand when I was younger in relationships is your partner is not everything to you. Mm-hmm. Sure. They're everything for you. Like you love them, you want to be with them, but they're not everything to you. And you shouldn't be everything to your partner. Like that is like just the truest form of that. Like you guys, you have to have a life together and a life separate.
Yeah. I think that's really, I mean, like, I think like even being in a relationship with Jake for like 12 years, like, I mean, like, you know, I could even say like that is sometimes I get caught up in that. And I think I've like definitely have worked through that, especially like mm-hmm. finding myself and therapy and like just I guess like getting older a bit like you
right.
you're able
you
to
kind of realize it as you grow yeah
because it's like and I know we've said this so many times on the podcast but like my dad like he says like you can't live for someone else
mm-hmm.
I mean unless when you have like a child of course but like he's not right. wasn't talking to me about that and so like it makes the truest sense but it's so hard to see that when mm-hmm. you're
absolutely
in a relationship at times but yeah sorry,
I didn't mean to but off. No you're fine so back to your question you know being lonely during after childbirth it's a whole other story because, you know, I had a really great birth and I had a really great team and really great care. And I feel so fortunate for that. But I will say that, you know, your pregnancy, you're going to the doctor once a month and then suddenly you go twice a month and then suddenly you go once a week. And then it's like twice once you've given birth, which is really, I think for some people, and I think I understand maybe why they do that, because some people are like, I have a fucking baby. Like, you want me to come in again? Or, you know, it's like, but you almost feel this like, oh, they don't want me anymore. Like, I'm not needed anymore. They don't want to check in on me. Like, because you're so, you've grown this relationship with these people for 9 months. And then you just don't see them anymore.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're off now. Fly.
It almost feels weird.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, I've been trying to be as cautious as possible with COVID. And, you know, I've gotten to a point where I'm like, just give it to me already. I just want it. And then I've gotten to a point where I'm like, no, I don't want it. Yeah. And I just want some sense of normalcy. I want to be able to be honest, I'm not ready for anybody to even hold my baby yet, like, because like of emotional like feelings around it. Not so much like, oh, well, they might have COVID versus like, I carried her in my body for 9 months. Well, I want to be the one that holds her.
It's an extension of you. And like,
yeah, I mean, eventually, obviously I'll let somebody hold her.
I hope I get to hold her. I was lucky enough that I was able to meet her and I touched her little feet. And I think I like tickled her belly for like 5 seconds. But I asked next, of course. I asked permission.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, for me, I'm like, logically, I know that I can't hold my baby forever because that's not good for her or me. But, blah, blah, blah. Back to what I was saying.
But can I say something to that?
Yeah.
Is like, she's only going to be this little for so long. So like, hold her as much as you want. And like, when she's old enough to like hold her head up and like her little like chubbing body is like strong, like then she could get passed around. But I don't think you need to like make excuses as to why it's like.
I'm
holding her for this amount, you know, like, I think it's perfectly okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with how I am with that, and you know, in that regard. But I guess where I'm going with it too is more of like, it would be nice to plan things and see people and do things and celebrate and just enjoy life without the added stress, worry, fear. Mm-hmm. Because that is really isolating. It's really isolating for somebody who just has OCD and who has anxiety. And, you know, it's like before this pandemic began, like when it was first starting, my therapist, like specifically, hi, Eyelash. I want to make a wish really quick. Hold on, listeners.
Okay. As she blows all over Ever's face.
It was on my knee. So, you know, as this pandemic began, my therapist like specifically said to me, don't look anything up. Don't watch the news. Turn everything off. Don't worry about it. Like, you keep doing your, like, what you need to do to get by, essentially. And so I was like, okay, like, didn't like think much about it. Like, tried really hard to just continue my life. And then obviously it hit. And I think that's kind of where for me, like, it's going to be really hard and is really hard to like come back from that as a new mom and just as an individual of myself. Like, how can I start to incorporate life? And I will say that, like, you know, I get OCD, like contamination OCD, like with stuff that's not COVID related during this time. Like, I dropped stuff off somewhere and the person had disgusting fingernails and it made me like, have the worst anxiety because I was just like, it's dirty. Everything is dirty. Everything's dirty. And that's how it can spiral for somebody with contamination OCD sometimes, where you're just like, you know, fuck, you know? And it's like, it's really hard when you're a new mom and you feel like crazy, if you will. Like, I don't want to throw that word around, but you just feel like so out of like why is, because you logically, with OCD at least, for me, you logically know that your thought is illogical. Mm-hmm. You know that somebody else's fingernails are not directly touching you, mm-hmm. you know, like they're not feeding you, like there's nothing that essentially could hurt you in that scenario. And yet you're terrified. Mm-hmm. And yet you have a baby to take care of. And yet you need to also be able to like grab your boob and feed them without being like, I need to wash my baby. I need to do this. I need to do that. Would it be, you know, and I think that those thoughts are really isolating in a different way.
Yeah.
Now that baby is here. However, on the flip side of that, like, I have loved having like quiet time. I think that if there wasn't a pandemic, I'm one of those people who probably wouldn't want anybody to come over for at least a month or two, because I believe that like, I needed that bonding time with her, where 100%. It was just us as a family, like me, her, and Steven. And I think I'll do that with, you know, my next kid, where it's just us for a few months, because nobody else was in bed with us. They don't need to be there for the finished product.
No, and it's
they didn't come for dessert.
Yeah, and it's like, this is a new family member in our life. We need to get adjusted. The baby needs to, I don't know, like grow.
Get used
and
to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like, I love that. Like, I think once Jake and I have a baby, like, I'll have the same mentality. And plus, like, I'm already going to be, and I'm sure you can relate to this, already overwhelmed by the whole situation of bringing a human in. I don't need to worry about X, Y, and Z, who are there. Did you wash your hands? What are you doing? Don't look at me. Mm-hmm. Don't touch me. Mm-hmm. Just like, leave me alone and like, let me be a nest. Like, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And your body, like, I mean,
you're like, I'm wearing a diaper. My boob is out. Like,
yeah, the human body is so incredible. Like, I will say that, like, you know, whatever way you birth your child, is you're birthing your child. Like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But like, just even the simple fact of like growing a human is so fucking cool. Like, when I look at her, I'm just like, you were this big mm-hmm. once in my belly. Like, when I found out about you, you were tiny. You were a seed, essentially, at one point. And to like see that seed and what it's turned out to be is, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. It's the most phenomenal thing in the world to just get to hold the thing that you grew.
Absolutely. So how is motherhood? Like, how is it, like, just as a whole?
My therapist says I sound really calm.
You do.
When I talk about my baby, because I usually have her during the sessions.
Start the meal with therapy. I like it.
Yeah. I was a nanny for so long, so I feel like I have probably a better idea of how to navigate children better than people who are just like, and I wasn't planning on having a kid and now I have a kid. Of course, like my poor cousin, I think hears every single question, and same with my sister. Like, we have a group text, I'm like, sister, mom, what do you think about this? And we have, you know, our other friends, Lauren and Jess, and I'm like, what do you guys think about this? And you know, it's like, I'll ask any mom any question, because I'm just like, what do you guys think about that? And there's times where you're like when she was first born, she would sleep so much, and I'm like, do you wake her? Do you not wake her? What do you do? And I think the funniest part about all of that is there's no right answer, in my opinion. Obviously, follow your pediatrician's advice. They say that, you know, it's like, don't listen to me as far as this. But your mom gut is like the biggest thing to really allow to grow.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to let it, to just trust it, because a lot of times if you're like me, where you've like kind of quieted your own intuition, like listening to that and letting it grow is kind of hard to do at first. Like you kind of are, you're like, what is this? Am I telling myself to do this instead? Like recently, like during feedings, I'll be like, she'll be sucking on her passy. I'm like, oh, she wants the boob now. And I'll take her passy out and she wants the boob. And so it's really, but it's like trial and error, you know, it's just figuring it out. And also just, yeah, like listening to yourself and seeing what works for you and trying different things. And it is hard to have grace though for yourself, I will say. Like I'm a perfectionist by nature and I do not want to fuck this kid up, even though I know that like I will hurt her in some way. Like that's just inevitable. Everybody's going to hurt their kids in some way. Not, obviously I'm not going to do it intentionally, but it's just bound to happen. We all have our own like strifes emotions with our parents. Yeah. So with that being said, it's like, I hold a great deal of like, make sure you X, Y, and Z, which can be, you know, a lot of pressure, but I think that I think I do pretty well. I mean, I love being a mom. I've never felt like, I mean, I love it. Like when people are like, do you need a break? Do you need, like my mom's like, I can come help and give you a break. And I'm like, I don't think you understand. Like, I don't want a break. Like I require like my like time in the morning to go to the bathroom. And like, if I wasn't freaking still having hemorrhoids at 3 months postpartum, like sure, I probably wouldn't need to shower right after, but if somebody would buy me a tushy.
Wait, sorry, we should TMI, like, we should email but, them, be like, excuse me.
Yeah. So but I require my like, hi bubs, my nighttime shower is like my biggest thing in the world to
me. Quote unquote like break.
Yeah, and even then it's just like sometimes I can't even do like my beauty routine, I guess, like the oils or stuff. It's because it's like you gotta get dressed really quick, hop in bed and like feed that baby until they go down. And but I love it. I love every second of it. Like I really like, I don't know, I feel so lucky that I love it.
Because
I know that like a lot of moms struggle with like feeling, and who knows, I could be totally different. I've known moms that like their first kid they felt this way, and the second kid they've had like, oh, I don't even want to hold that baby. Like, and all of that's just natural. Like, you have to me, it's like, you know this person because they grew inside of you, but you don't know this person. Like, they are brand new. You're brand new to them. Like, it's like Steven and I's relationship.
So what is the biggest lesson you've learned through pregnancy and now being a mama?
The first thing that comes to mind is that your baby can feel your emotions.
Oh, wow.
But I don't want to say that and make moms feel like they have to control their emotions.
Like to always because, like, feel calm or happy.
Yeah, because I think that that's BS. Because I actually think that if you can feel your emotions and teach yourself how to regulate them, it inadvertently, I don't know, directly teaches your child how to navigate and regulate their own.
Yeah, because it's like what we've talked about in the past, like feeling our feelings are so important. And sometimes, you know, we have been told not to like feel those certain feelings. So I think that's like really important.
Yeah, and I think too, like, I will say, like, you know, like, I had a moment where I felt like my supply dipped and I felt like she didn't want my boob. And, you know, it broke me. Like, it made me just so incredibly sad. And so I think, like, in that moment, I needed to learn, like, and I still do need to learn, like, there's other connection other than just being a source of nutrients that connect me to my daughter, even though I haven't yet found that in the sense of, like, okay, maybe you, like, you know, God forbid one day, like, my milk just, like, never mind, I'm out. Peace. Like, dries up. Like, okay, then what do I need to do? Like, I've been, you know, considering getting the COVID vaccine. And that's something I've been, like, does it affect your supply? Like, is there a possibility that my supply could dip? What happens in that case? Like, what if I have a reaction and I lose all of my milk? Like, what am I going to do? And so, you know, there's those sort of things where I'm just like, will I suddenly become super depressed? Will I still find joy? And will I still be able to feel connected to my daughter? But that happens. So, and another thing I've been experiencing is like analysis paralysis. Like when you have, when I was telling you in a conversation like way before, like it's almost easier now that she's out because I can physically see if something's going on with her comparative to like if she's in my belly, it's like she sounds good. Okay, but what does that mean? You know,
yeah, like she kicked, but I haven't felt her kick X amount of time.
Or yeah, it's like we don't know like how this is affect. Like if I were to have gotten like whatever. So it's easier now that she's out of my belly, but it's also like, okay, but like the vaccine, it's like, do I get the vaccine? What if it does this? And what if it does that? But will it bring me more quality of life and ease? Like, you know, so it's like, I'm constantly in this like analysis paralysis. And I think it does give me like, obviously anxiety because you want to make the right choice. Mm-hmm. And is there a right choice? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Is there a right choice? Could I potentially go for the rest of, you know, the year until maybe more Americans have been vaccinated and never, you know, come in contact with COVID? Sure. That could absolutely happen. Could I come in contact with COVID and nothing really, everything's mild? Yeah. Could it be really severe? Yeah. Could I get the vaccine and, you know, she might not even get antibodies or I might have a reaction? Yeah. Like there's all of these, I think, options. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, when I talk about, like, how she can feel my feelings, is like, sometimes when I get into these, like, OCD, like, cycles or loops and anxiety loops, I've noticed that she'll almost, like, cry or be really fussy at my boob. And I think it's just because she can feel, like, energetically that, like, oh, mom's, like, tense, not in a good place, like something's happening. And which is, I mean, that's just my own personal belief and my own personal interaction, yeah, with course. My daughter, but
it's,
yeah,
so her, like, saying like, mom, calm down, like you're fine.
Well, when I had the panic attack when I was pregnant with her and I like hyperventilated and everything, and she ended up like, was like sitting in a parking lot having a panic attack and she was like kicking me, and I like, there was like a moment in that panic attack where I ended up obviously having to go to the hospital to monitor and make sure she was okay. But where she was almost, I felt like she was like, yo, I'm good.
Yeah.
Chilling in this placenta. Like,
I felt so bad for you when that happened. And like, I felt like almost hopeless because I was so far away from you. And I just like wanted to like find where you were and be like,
I felt really like, trapped that day.
You know, I mean, like, luckily, like, we were able to, like, I mean, not luckily, because that was, like, a hard conversation to have with you. But, like, I just was, like, I wish I could, like, fly to her right now and just, like, hold her.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's really nice. I think that that's, you know, something that partners maybe struggle with anxiety. And I know that it's something that's come up in my relationship as well, especially with OCD, is a lot of times, yes, absolutely. With OCD, like you want reassurance, like, duh, it's like a fucking, like, it's the disorder of like uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And, but sometimes, just sitting with somebody within their emotion, I think is like the best thing for them. And mm-hmm. like understanding like where they're coming from and validating their experience, even if it's completely like abstract to you. Because, you know, having like, okay, for instance, like Steven's actually like made, like, you have to also have like a good repertoire and like, for me, like, I know that jokes or making light of something in some cases, not all cases. You really got to fucking figure out your footing these things.
Read the
it's
room.
Good, but like, yeah, I've exactly. I've had like OCD about like being scared that what if I feed my daughter? This is going to sound so silly, but this is OCD
like,
for
what
you.
What if
like,
someone else like has the same thought, you know? Like, I think
yeah,
it's like
potentially.
So
like, I have these tiny hair clips, and it's like, what if I feed my daughter these tiny hair clips in the middle of my sleep? I need to not have them next to my bed. So my exposure therapy would be, nope, keep them beside your bed. They're going to be there in the morning. X, Y, and Z.
I've had those thoughts, like, with not, I mean, obviously I don't have a kid, but like when I was younger, like I had my first, like, I'm sure I had many, but this is the one that stuck with me the most, was like that intrusive thought that I was like a murderer. So like, if
I hate that. Yeah.
If there's a knife, and I still do it now, like if there's a knife,
what if I stab this person? Or
if there's a knife in the dish, the drying rack, I put it in the cupboard. But if it's in the sink, buried with other dishes, I'm like, oh no, I can't see that. That's fine.
Right.
It's just for my own, like, and I know I'm not going to do it, but it's like the OCD and that intrusive thought that entered my brain like 18 years ago, that's still like, or like 15 years ago, that still like torments me, but I know better now. But yeah, it makes total sense. Like,
yeah,
you have that so, one thought in your head and you just can't.
And then exactly. You just get fixated on it, if you will. And so Steven's been like, and then the next morning I was like, what the fuck? One of my hair clips are gone. And I was like, oh my God, you know, and I was like, and he's like, oh, like that's what I was choking on. Or like, you know, he just like says stupid shit.
Makes
and like, it's
it.
Been like, yeah, it's, and I like couldn't find it anywhere and I just had to let it go.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Am I going to take my kid to the doctor and be like, I might have done this. Like, no, I didn't do that.
No.
Like, that is not something I would do. Like,
it's probably in your hair right now, anyways.
Did I tell you that day that I was like washing my hair and
no.
there was like twigs and like
oh,
random stuff?
I don't know, but I feel like you've told me there's been twigs in your hair before, but
yeah. But I am a really clean person, you guys. It's just like if I walk under
then
a bush, like, things are going to get attached. Under a bush. Why would I get that low to the ground? Under a tree. But then it's funny. Steven was vacuuming and I ended up finding the hair clip. And, you know, it's just little things like that where just like I think just checking in with my mental health is like so important. Like I went a while without having therapy and then I was like, oof.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, like, have you
girl
continued therapy?
Yeah. So at the beginning it was like, okay, whenever you need it, like 30 minutes, like, cause I was just a little harder to like really get like a full hour, like, you know, navigate that. And so I've done it. And then I went, I think like almost over, it feels like over a month, but I don't think it was that long. And now I like my last session last week, I was like, let's just book something for a month. Like, let's just have
something on
once a month. Yeah, like just maintenance. And I actually just texted my therapist and I was like, do you have something on Monday? I have really bad anxiety because I've been having like bad sinus issues and I haven't been feeling great, which is, you know, fine. That's natural. Like the season's here. And just making this decision regarding like the vaccine and the, you know, possibilities of either side of it. And even though I'm not even eligible right now, but I actually think I would be eligible. Let me just air some grievance really quick. So I actually think that it's unfair that somebody with OCD or a mental health issue wouldn't have eligibility when it directly, like my quality of life because of this virus, as far as like being able to like just take a breath and have somewhat of a normal life has diminished so much. And so I feel like, and this is not, I just feel like I should have the same choice as a smoker would have the same choice.
100%.
because like if you're a smoker, I completely understand their logic behind it of like, okay, but a smoker, their lungs are more compromised.
But that's their choice to smoke. It's not our choice to like live with this like mental health.
That's where I'm just like, yeah. And so I'm just like, okay, like, you know, under mental health conditions, like there really should be like, if it's disturbing the quality of your life to where you can have panic attacks because of like going out or, you know, X, Y, and Z. And at the end of the day, like, no, we really can't just like, especially with a kid, like you can't bottle your life up forever.
Well, but like, I think like any parent should be like the head of the line anyways, because you need to be the healthiest for your child.
Right. Exactly. But then, you know, then there's a lot of like vaccine information against it and, you know, all this stuff. So I was like, do you have any like, you know, appointments? And of course it's so like trivial because it's like, okay, Neg, like you've gone through this loop a million times. Again, that's OCD. Mm-hmm. Like that's an OCD loop. Like I'm stuck in it. I'm stuck in it currently. Like
yeah, it's awful.
I can't get out of it. And so I was like, okay, do you have therapy? And she's like, yeah. I was like, I just need like a 30-minute session on Monday. So I am definitely like still in it. I don't think that I'll ever be out of it. I think I'll go through like times where I might go a little longer if I don't have the standing monthly appointment, but it's just too vital to my existence as a mother.
Yeah. I think it's like, you know, for the longest time we've had this conversation, like for me to even start therapy was like a whole like not issue, but like an ordeal. And like, we know like my whole past with it, but like now, like I can't picture my life without it, even if there isn't something that I'm currently going through at the moment when we have a conversation or an appointment. Right. Like it's vital, you know, like after my conversation that I had with Brenna in the last episode, like I almost canceled my appointment, and then I interviewed her, and she's a mental health counselor, and she's like, non-negotiable is my therapy session every Thursday. And I was like, yeah, like why am I putting something else aside? Like, yes, funds are a little low, but like that's my mental health that is so important. Like I need to do this just to like, what is it? To keep maintenance, like you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I just find that like being able to just like, even just fucking like vent and talk about nonsense. Sometimes it's just nice to hear yourself talk nonsense and then be like, okay, all right, I can let that go now.
It's like a verbal like diary or journal entry, you know, like just.
I thought you were going to say diarrhea.
I mean, verbal diarrhea. Yeah. But you know, like a verbal like diary journal entry just to like. you're so funny. Like I remember at times, and if I like am having really bad anxiety or like up like on the verge of a panic attack, I usually take a shower to just like calm myself, and then I'll feel, you know, all the emotions. I'll be scared, I'll be this, I'll be that, and then I'll start repeating what I'm actually scared about, like in the shower. And then I'll start to say it out loud. And once you say it out loud, you could just like really hear yourself being like, oh, this is what I'm scared of, or this is what's causing the panic attack. And then you could kind of just like sit back and like not so much laugh, but be like, oh.
Acknowledge or recognize it.
Wait, that's not a logic reason, but my mind, like you were saying, like, makes it think it is. But just to like say it out loud in any capacity, I think is like really like helpful.
I actually really like that, even for ones that are logical, like fears that are logical, because you can almost like visually audibly understand it, comparative, and it almost takes it out and puts it into a different dimension versus it being stuck in the loop in your head.
Yeah, like
so that's a really, really cool idea.
Yeah, like so like I try to like, you know, okay, like let's take a shower, let's let's just like break down all the
potentials.
Yeah.
Or steps.
Steps in my head and say it out. And it's not even like I'm saying it, like verbally saying it out loud, but it's just like I'm alone with my thoughts, so I'm able to like just narrow focus like on that and not like my surroundings. I don't know. Also like the shower is just like very calming.
I like absolutely love being in the shower. It's 100% like my favorite place in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I can't wait till Ever is old enough and like wouldn't get too like overwhelmed by like just water rushing down on her just to take her in the shower with me.
Yeah.
Which is like, cause I'm not a bath person, except I'm like gonna get into the bath at the hotel that we're going to.
Spend extra $20 a night on that bathtub.
I know. I'm oh my really God, excited.
We should get bath bombs. We're not taking a bath together, but we each have our own bathtubs in our rooms. But we should get bath bombs.
I know. Yeah. Osmia makes bath like tea bags essentially. But if anybody doesn't realize why we're excited about the hotel bath, it's because it's a clawfoot tub.
Yes. Like
that's why.
Old.
Yeah, it's like a standalone. Yeah.
Like, is it in the middle of our room?
I don't know.
I hope our rooms are next to each other too, FYI.
Me too. So you guys can hear a baby screaming. Just kidding.
Never mind. excuse me. I would like to be across the way. Okay. And then I was going to ask you, do you have any new anxieties to add to your plate mm-hmm. besides
yeah.
the already given ones of worrying about another human?
Like, yeah.
What are okay, can I rephrase that?
Sure.
I love to ask very like roundabout questions. They're the same question, but the same. Okay. Mm-hmm. New anxieties you've experienced and new anxieties that you never thought you would have encountered or like even could imagine post
okay
or pre-baby.
Okay. Ready?
Ready. Go.
Random one is I didn't know that inside of diapers are little like gel beads that are absorbent beads.
Okay, that's what you were talking about before we recorded and I was like,
yeah. So like the natural, like one of the natural ones that are like, it's like pretty inexpensive. It like I would find those gel beads would come out easier. And I do not like silica. Like I don't like the packets. Like when I find those like dehumidifying packets.
Yeah. And like a bag or whatever.
Ugh, like it like really sets my OCD off. Like
is what is in a diaper?
That's not exactly what's in there. Cause this one's like like the diaper's flat, obviously, and then when they pee or poop, it just like soaks it in, and the gel beads get like bigger because it's soaking in the moisture or the liquid, so that it doesn't leak. Sometimes those gel beads will come out, and I've read like online that they're not toxic and blah blah blah. But she's like starting to put her hands down by her bottom and stuff when I change her and finding her parts, you know, she's like exploring essentially. And so it like really freaks me out that she'll touch it, get it on her hands, bring it to her mouth, swallow it. Like, of course they say it's non-toxic, but I'm just like, she shouldn't have that in her body. It just freaks me out.
I had no idea that even existed.
Same. I had no, that's why I was like, okay, this is what I have that doesn't exist. So I really like, I never thought I was going to like care for Pampers brand, but the Pampers Pure like and the Kirkland brand are sewn really well and like tight. So like I've never seen these gel beads come out of them.
And that's like,
ever.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, you just like you saying like, I never thought like I would go for these brands, but it's just like whatever you got to do for a sense of relief, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, honestly though, for any moms out there, the Kirkland diapers, great price and they've really good, like they hold a lot, like blah blah blah, but anyway, so that's something that I just like never thought I was gonna like worry about. And just like random like you know, it's like this silly stuff of like, did she eat enough, did she fucking like sleep enough, is she sleeping too much, you know, all these like random nuances. And Did I eat enough? Am I drinking enough water? Because like you, if you're breastfeeding, like, and as a new mom in general, like you need to like keep your nutrients up. Like that's super important to be like your nutrients essentially just like fall out of your boobs. Mm-hmm. So you really need to like keep everything up. So that's been really hard for me to do. I'm not like a big eater. I don't know. I just, obviously I like food, but I think back to like when I like, you know, used to work and stuff, and I'd eat like maybe like lunch if we had like a lunch meeting, or I'd run home and like make a quick smoothie. Other than that, like I'd just have like a big dinner. Like I was never like a breakfast, like just, I don't know, really like not that big of a deal, I guess. But I also have never been like a great water drinker, and hydration is so important for, you know, breastfeeding and milk production. So that's something that I didn't really think about and I'm still adjusting to. My own morbidity, I think, is a big thing. Like the idea of not seeing my baby every day, and like, obviously if I'm dead, I'm dead. Like I'm probably not going to think about it. But like, I want to be on this plane holding my baby for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes me want to cry thinking about it. Like, I can't. And that's, I think it's like a hard thing for me to adjust to, is like never wanting to be gone. Because, like, I just want to be with my kid.
Well, yeah.
Like, makes me want to cry. Yeah, I mean, I guess before I got pregnant, or before I, you know, it's like, I never really like, of course I would be like, okay, like, try not to die. Like, but it just wasn't something you like think about all the time, or I don't think about it all the time, but it's just like, you know, like just the thought of like, I want to be there to raise my baby.
Yeah.
Like, and it's something, again, that goes back to this, like, COVID time and all these things of, like, if I don't get the vaccine and if I get sick, and what if I get really sick?
Yeah.
And I can't take care of her? Like, what if she gets really sick? Like, and then, you know, the other aspect of, like, what are these effects of the vaccine and, you know, all this stuff. And so I think that, like, morbidity, like, plays a big part of it, of, like, wanting to just make sure that I'm making the right choice for our future. And my therapist thinks it's better for me to do it because quality of life. And, you know, even we're, Heike and I are going to this wedding, and the people who are getting married have been very cautious and I think really aware of like, okay, this is COVID times. We, you know, we want to get married and we're going to make this as safe as possible. Mm-hmm. And they're making it it's like all outside,
making it
a masked wedding, small group. Like, it's not like they're doing anything, in my opinion, that's so outrageous. And at the end of the day, like, they deserve to get married and enjoy their life. And I don't blame, like, you know, at the end of the day, okay, like, they're doing the best that they can with the situation. And so I feel like, you know, for me, it's like, there's obviously fear about going. There's obviously like, am I stupid for doing this? Am I this and that? And then I also have to think like, Steven and I literally haven't done anything, haven't gone anywhere. Like, how good is that for our relationship? Like, we're parents. Like, we've got to like do something so that our kid is raised in a house where they see like parents enjoying each other. Mm-hmm. So little things like that have been like popping up that I think like, obviously these things wouldn't be issues if there wasn't COVID around. Obviously I'd still be worried about the flu because it's flu season, but probably not at that time. But you know, there's new things that I think every person is now getting adjusted to. And to me, like, setting a good example relationship-wise between mother and father is really, really, really foundationally important for your children.
100%.
Like, it's, you know, obviously COVID affects physical health, but having isolation and not good relationship skills between the parents, that affects mental health.
Yeah, it's the first relationship children experience.
Yeah. And to me, that's huge. Like, it's you know, something I desire for my kid is like for them to be like, oh, I want a relationship like my parents had where they just had fun or like, I don't know. I don't want to raise, that's like, I think a big deal to me. And right now, especially like talking to my kid, speaking about having girls, but I actually would do this for a boy too. Is like, I've just, when I did was on Instagram, like I'd follow these ones accounts and it's one lady talked about how teaching your daughter or your children, I'm sorry, about their private parts in anatomically correct ways mm-hmm. is really important. Even, you know, this young and just basically saying like, mom's going to change your diaper and clean your vagina and your butt now. Like, is that okay? Like, and I do that now. Like, I don't necessarily always say vagina because honestly, vagina is a really weird word for me to say. I don't know why. Just like, I guess I just don't say it out loud very much. So it's like vagina. Like, it just seems weird when it comes out of my mouth. But teaching my child, like, okay, mommy's asking for permission. That means everybody has to ask for permission.
Absolutely.
And also, like, teaching, you know, like, I think, like a new anxiety is like, ugh, you know, like, one day, like, she's going to go out into the world. And, like, I just have to hope that, like, she doesn't encounter anybody who would ever hurt her. Mm-hmm. And I just have to hope that, like, everything I teach her about, like, body awareness and, like, people might lie to you and say that they're going to hurt mommy and daddy if you tell them this secret, but no adult should ever make you keep a secret. Like, just little things like that where I'm like, I just have to hope that she doesn't go through that. And that's really hard, I think, as a parent to like think about the possibilities of your child being hurt mm-hmm. in any way that you can't control.
Yeah.
That's just other people. And the only thing I think you can really do is just like prepare yourself and, you know, have real talks with your kids and open up the floor. I think children aren't born awkward about conversations. I think it's more parents that are awkward about conversations, even surrounding sex and, you know, pregnancy and, you know, all these things. Like when the time comes to talk to Everly about sex, it's like, I'm totally fine with telling her like, yeah, like mommy and daddy, you know, obviously weren't safe enough and we got you, which is a miracle and we're so happy. But like, if you do choose to do this, like this could happen. So you need to make sure you're ready and little things like that, where it's like, it's like all these new things where it's like, I never thought about like any of this. And obviously I'm an adult. So like if somebody touches me incorrectly, like I know that I am an adult, like, but she's a baby and she needs to like learn how to speak up for herself. And I'm like, I never want her to have a sleepover anywhere. Everybody can come sleep over here. Like, which that's actually like my preference, that I'm the house that like, she like has her friends over to our house. And that's kind of how my family was too. Like, we were never really like, it was never really like, oh, go to your friend's house, we need time alone. It was like, okay, bring your friends here.
I feel like Jake and I would be that house because like all our friends used to come over to our house. And
like, I think so too.
That's like what I would like too. And like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, again, like I mean, maybe one day, but for now and in the foreseeable future, like I don't really want to break from my kid. Not a problem if people do, but like, I'm a control freak too. So I mean, like, I'd rather just everybody be over at my house.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are, I think, like the new things that I've never thought about that are intense, but I guess I just take it day to day, diaper change by diaper change.
Yeah. And like, once you start having those thoughts about like Everly when she's like growing and like going out into the world and like thoughts that are so down the future, do you stop yourself and be like, I'm not going to focus my time on that right now because that's down the ways from now and I just want to enjoy this time with her like now?
No, because I don't feel that I get stuck there.
Oh, that's good.
I think if anything, it just helps me be like, okay, what's my plan? Okay, so I want her to learn about her body and like an autonomy and like, okay, I'm going to be asking her hey, mommy's going to change your diaper. This is why I'm doing this. The doctor's going to check your bottom because this is why, like, this is safe to do, or this is why we need to do this. Would you give me your permission? Like, I'm going to teach her stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it gives me like a plan, and it's even like, I'm like, okay, when she's like old enough to like play and stuff, I'm going to have her in self-defense class, like jiu-jitsu, like teaching her how to use her body in the correct way. So I don't get stuck there. Like, I don't get like fixed. Like, it's not like a COVID kind of thing where I'm just like, what are the possibilities? What if she gets it? What if I get it? Like, what if we die? What if this happens? Like, it doesn't get like that for me when it comes to those things, because I can see clear, logical plans that I can put in place early on.
That's great.
To help if that situation were to arise.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. If that makes sense. No, it totally makes sense. I was just like curious.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, that's all I have on my like list of questions for you. I know there's like so much more that we could talk about, but I feel like that is like multiple episodes, and like growing as like a mom, like you have so much to like share with us. And like, I love that like we are able to talk about motherhood now.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought I never really cared to have my own biological children. I never thought it was a big deal. I would love to adopt and love to become a foster mom at some point in my life. Like, that's still on the table, but, I'm so glad I got this gift. Like, there's just, like, I look back at pictures and things and just the, like, how I birthed her, and like, wow, like I have this tiny little tiny 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 nugget.
Yeah, motherhood looks and good on you, just, kid.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. I would love if you one day shared with us. I know your birth story, but if you ever feel comfortable sharing with us.
Yeah, I'll do it. We could do like a bonus episode.
Yeah, that's like a whole other.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a story.
Motherhood is just not one episode, guys, okay? So this will be
a fucking lifetime.
A continuous conversation that I'm like really excited about, because it's just a whole other.
Yeah. I mean,
book.
I would say like, however you're like, even like, you know, it's like, I feel like everybody in some way is a mother, like whether you have pets or, you know, there's just some part of you, like, it's just an everlasting love. Anything that you, obviously motherhood's a little different, but like anything you have a love to is like, you can feel it in some way, how it must feel.
Well,
there you go.
Everly, I would like to thank you so much for being so good.
Better than Abby.
Yes. Oh.
You're okay, Bugs.
Well.
Are you waking up? She says goodbye, everybody. That's my voice.
I feel like every mom has the mom voice. Well, thank you so much.
Well, no, Stephen tells me it's my only voice that I can do, but I don't think it's my only voice. It's just my favorite voice to do. It's like a scary witch.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, wait. Yes, I know that voice. I think you've, like, done it on this podcast before. Okay, well, I love you guys both so much. Thank you for taking your time and talking to us.
I love you, too.
I love you. And I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.